to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me, and then we'll respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Still to come on the program here in about an hour, Dale Jackson from Yellowhammer News and WVNN up in Huntsville. And then he's a candidate for state auditor. Derek Chen will make time for us, so please make sure you stick around for that. Joining us now here at the Fairhope Bureau, renovations underway. State Representative Jennifer Fiddler with us. Representative, been a while. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Jeff. You doing good?
We're doing all right. We're surviving.
Sleepy.
It's just chaos. Yeah, I don't know.
It's all good.
Yeah, we got, by the way, we have a new baby in the house. So it's been...
Along with all the reconstruction.
Yeah, we got a renovation underway, baby. I'll say this, third time around, I'm getting kind of good at it. So I'd say good. It's all relative to the first two. Mm-hmm. You learn how to change diapers and swaddle and all that. But anyway, how you been? I haven't seen you much at the state house, just here and there from afar. But it's been just chaos too.
Yeah, I've been just running. I mean, it's chaos when you get up there because there's so many people, coming to your offices. They're trying to let you know what's important to them in the halls. About the bills that's important to them. They're letting you know what issues are. Yeah, so yeah, I've seen you, I guess, maybe just once or twice.
I guess I see you from afar, but there's always stuff going on. Let's start here. Good science, Bill. You heard the texter.
I did. He asked why I voted no. So I think it's important to kind of understand what that bill did. It said that unless there was sound science, or if there was an emergency, that the state government, that's the executive branch that the governor oversees, could not make any kind of ruling. So the state legislature would have to do that. And I think that's pretty sound. The ceiling would be the federal, the federal government's guidelines for environmental type policies. But then at the same time, I mean, you kind of mentioned it, we are in one of the most environmentally sensitive areas in the state of Alabama. And we probably need the flexibility that if we need to pass something quickly or put something in place pretty quickly, that the governor is able to do that instead of waiting on a legislative session. And there may be some things out there that we're not familiar with, or the unknowns. And I think that's probably where I was, that there's a lot of unknowns in this. There's never been an issue. We don't foresee there being an issue. So why are we changing this right now? And I think that unknown kind of was where I was kind of stuck, because I listened to all the debate. It came through my committee. There was half of us voted yes, half of us voted no. I'm sitting over there listening to all of it, still on the fence, and, really just listened hard to the debate. And at the end of the day, I voted yes on the BIR, not killing the bill. But at the same time, I didn't feel good enough to vote yes on it. And I think that was where my sticking point was. I mean, those unknowns, that if we had something that came up that didn't meet that sound science requirement or the emergency rule requirement, that we would need to, and we could now, we still can, and this is where you feel somewhat comfortable when you start feeling comfortable with this, we still can make a rule. For example, the mud dumping out here. In my opinion, that is a stricter rule than what the federal guideline says. We just changed the definition of beneficial use, and we changed it to where it's stricter than what, because we just classified and defined mud dumping as not a beneficial use. So if it was a beneficial use, you can use it as 70% of that sediment can be distributed. now that it's not a beneficial use, there's only 30% of that sediment that can be distributing in that thin layer placement, or the terminology that people are most familiar with is mud dumping. So to me, that is more strict. But we just passed a state law saying that we, and that is totally, we could totally still do that with SB 71.
Who was asking for this? Who woke up was like, you know what we need to do? We need a good science bill in Alabama. Where does that come from?
Well, from the business side of things, we have several states that are already putting something like this in place, and the trying to recruit industry.
Is that just like everything y'all do now is like, or I'll say a quarter of everything the legislature does is all about economic development?
Well, recruiting industry is an important, you know, economic, you know, we are the economic engine, you know, it's so important. Our area down here, tourism, that our environment, we won't have tourism if we don't take care of it. So, you know, that vote that I did, that's, you know, you think about that too. And if we take care of our people, we are taking care of business. And I think that's kind of key too. This was a bill that, you know, that our business community said we needed so that we could attract industry here and that we can be more competitive, you know, with our neighboring states. But at the same time, I still stick with, we take care of our environment. We are, that is taking care of business, because our business is this beautiful Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico still today, but Gulf of America will be labeled soon in the state, we think. And then our beautiful Weeks Bay, you know, Mobile Bay right here on the Eastern Shore.
I mean, just look how it's changed even in the last 20 years, right? How much?
Yeah, and two-thirds of the state actually drains through the five rivers, through the Delta system. And, you know, we have to take care of it.
How you feel about solar panels in North Baldwin County?
That was private property rights. If somebody wants to sell their property, if somebody wants to buy it, and we don't have any regulation saying that we don't have them in place, the rules are, the regulations are, and the law is that it is totally acceptable. Now, can we put guardrails around it? Yes. How we do that is probably what, like Senator Elliott was talking about, through zoning or through some sort of law that we pass here, you know, local law that we could do. But if there's nothing in place, I've served on the Planning Commission for the City of Fairhope for 10 years. If we don't have the rules and the regulations in place and we don't talk about this, plan it out, get public input, and get some things in place that put guardrails around what can and can't be developed here, this is what we get. Now, we talked about this. If you'll go back in history, so 20 years ago, we talked about growth and we talked about how we were going to develop. And one of the things the people did not want is zoning. If you guys that have been here for a long time, you'll remember, a long time, just 20 years ago maybe, you'll remember that those were the conversations we had, and nobody really understood what that meant. You know, putting guardrails up or rules and regulations up, because our private property rights here, people really, you know, we are all like this area that is, we stand by those. I mean, I will do it with my property what I, you know, please. And that is like that native, you know, that's where we were kind of, this is the soul of this area here. And then at the same time, the inundation of the number of people that have come to our area has made it so that we're like, wait a second, you know, our quality of life that we've, you know, enjoyed all these years, it's suddenly that's changed a little bit now. So, you know, we do have to, I think we have to consider it. And we have to put, if that's what we want, we need to be talking about it, planning for it, and change some rules and regulations around it.
Joined by State Representative Jennifer Fiddler here on the program. PSC bill died, but I'm sure you did your homework on it. Where were you on that?
I was, when I first heard about it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is taking the vote away from the people. Oh no. On the other side, is that the 10 states that still vote on this are the highest utility rates for customers in the nation. So the utility rates are the lowest in these states that appoint their public service commissioner. So the argument that, you know, we're going to find these people that are knowledgeable, that have been in this business, that, you know how to, you know, do this instead of just finding folks that are smart and want to run for office and got great name recognition or all the other things, you know, is valid. I mean, those are valid points. So the whole idea of it might be good. I would rather us either A, put guardrails around the who can run for public service commission, or B, let the people vote on it, or C, you know, let the people vote on two-thirds of it, let the governor appoint one. I know we've heard from Senator Tuberville. He said that, you know, he would really, really like to have somebody that he appointed. I mean, maybe that's the mix, but totally taking the vote away, I really was apprehensive about that.
Having like the attorney general or a DA where you had to have, presumably, or a judge, or you had to have some kind of legal background, could you do that with PSC?
Absolutely. I mean, we absolutely could. That is, and in fact, Representative Mack has got, Mack Butler has got, something similar. So he's working on, he dropped it actually a week ago. I think you probably are familiar with it, but he dropped something to where we do have guardrails around it. You know, you have to have a degree, or you have to have, you know, something that out there that we can actually, or, you know, one of the biggest things was all the money coming in, and these, the money coming in from areas that would really sway a campaign and really sway the people's choice on trying to find somebody they feel like would do a good job in this position. Because a lot of people don't know what the Public Service Commission does. You know, they're out there, you know, they regulate our utilities. Everything that's got to come through has to come utility-wise. They're also over like water boards and things like that, some water boards, but it's mostly electric rates and this solar farm. So a lot of people don't know that, and this would, you know, we could put guardrails around that. I think it would be helpful.
How much did you hear? Do you hear from people about stuff like this?
Yes.
Yeah, really?
Well, that morning when they found out we were going to vote on it, I had a phone call. This person was not happy at all. And, you know, I was like, wait a second, you know, I don't know, you know, there is some good sides to this, and, you know, I just couldn't vote for it. But I mean, I knew I was going to have to vote no. But they, you know, had counted votes. They felt like in the House that we were going to have the votes. But yeah, I do. I'm seeing it. I hear it. People call the office, and you guys feel free to call the office and let me know your thoughts on things. I do appreciate that. And leave your phone number, because there's been times that if I want extra information, because I do like to do that digging in, then I'll call you.
And then, you know, what's left this session? Because we just got a couple of minutes here, but how are you feeling about the last half here?
Yeah, we're over the halfway mark. And I know we're going to have another 3-day week, you know, sometime in March. But I think the speaker sent out an email the other day just saying, hey, if there's any local things you need, get them in there. You're going to have to advertise it now. Cause we have to have local bills advertised for 4 weeks. I still have the breast reconstruction bill that I dropped, right. And we're working hard on that still, just trying to make sure everybody's educated and feel comfortable with it. I talked to one of our senators the other day. He was a doctor, and just telling him, I'm like, this is, this is important. This is, women can choose. And he said, well, they're already doing it. I said, well, beg your pardon, but there's only two in this state, and people go through it and they have to go over to neighboring states and actually do certain options if that's what they feel most comfortable with them. And sometimes their girlfriends are telling them about the different options. And, you know, so even like some of our plastic, you know, I think our plastic surgeons are knowledgeable about it statewide. And we're a little bit more fortunate here. And then we've got a doctor there in UAB that's actually offering it too, I think, through the teaching mechanism and trying to teach microsurgery in UAB. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of, still we got to educate what it does. I mean, women would have their choice with doctors and the option that feels best or they feel like that's right for their bodies as they move forward in life. So, yeah.
Let's get a break in here. We got State Representative Jennifer Fiddler sitting in with us. We'll get another segment with her coming up on the other side. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line once again, 251-343-0106. Just a few more minutes here with my representative, State Representative Jennifer Fiddler, who's probably as eager as I am for this legislative session to come to a conclusion. Our friend Matt McKenzie, sheriff candidate, county commissioner, says, tell her I like the bill that the committee just passed about side-by-side on county roads and thank her for her vote. Tell us a little bit about that.
That bill came through Public Safety and Homeland Security last Wednesday. And what it says is that any off-road vehicle that meets certain criteria, and the certain criteria would be a roll bar, be headlights, would be turn signals, would be, you know, the correct tires for roads, that you can actually go down the dirt road, go on a county road, and go up to 45 miles an hour with them if you get seat belts. I mean, there's like a lot of criteria for it. But this, I see people, you know, go down the dirt road, drive 100 feet down the county road, and go into a subdivision to go see their buddies. Well, that's really illegal if it's because you're not, it's not proper. You can actually get a ticket for that. So this bill, which was sponsored by Keith Kelly up in northeast Alabama, Anniston area, he has an issue kind of up there where these, you know, off-road vehicles, which is not a golf cart, by the way, the section code that is described does not describe, the golf cart is not in the definition. So, but it would be mainly like these side-by-side ATVs. But you do have to have those tires that are for the roads, so to do it. But you, and the one question I think I had was, you know, I think this is convenient if you're going short distances. You know, you're going from one field and you got another 30-acre field down the road or whatever, and you need to get to it, and y'all are deer hunting and that sort of thing. But how convenient is that to go from, I mean, you don't, that's a short distance, but this is, you can actually go long distances. I mean, if you needed to go 10 miles down the road, but you have to have those wheels, those certain tires on there. You have to have all the things, seat belts, turn signals and all that. That has not passed. That has not got in front of the House floor yet. It was, the vote kind of was, I would say 60% yes and 40% no in committee. So it was, there may be other things that they have to work out before it gets to the House floor. But, yeah, it passed.
Yeah, I got a picture from Ben here.
There we go.
Like that.
But, yeah, there's, but you, the tires, I think, the Sheriff's Association said that one thing that they were okay with was those tires, because you're not going to get in the woods with street tires. So that is something you guys need to look at. I mean, here, you know, these folks that are out there using that, because the street tires can be much different than in the woods tires.
You expect, we talked about this last segment, but we feel like we're not talking about specifics, but the drama's kind of in the rearview mirror now.
I think it's empty. Yeah, looks like it. And I think if we all focus on our work.
This was supposed to be an easy session, Representative. There was not supposed to be leadership changes, public service commission bills. Y'all were supposed to pass the budgets and go home. Remember that?
Yeah, it was supposed to be no controversy. None. But we were just going to get this done and get it through. And we're going to get back in our districts and campaign.
More wrong. This is one of the most exhausting sessions since I've been back in the Alabama game.
Well, you got a newborn too now.
Anyway, we appreciate you coming by. We'll do it again in a few weeks.
Thank you, Jeff.
State Representative Jennifer Fidler. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was going to keep you free and clean.